Back together again with you, kicking off a brand new month on Tuesday, September 3rd, 2024, on Connecticut Today, where we welcome to Connecticut Catholic Conference Executive Director Chris Healy to chat about a state agency's recent actions regarding public comment on the state's abortion regulations. Yankee Institute blogger Megan Portfolio dropped by to talk about a new investigation surrounding higher education spending in Connecticut.
If you're Catholic, your head might explode on our next story. We welcome back to WICC. I've had him on several times before, Chris Healy, Executive Director of the Connecticut Catholic Conference, to talk about recent actions. Again, this is why people get angry at Hartford. Actions taken by a state agency. Maybe they were saying, let's do this quietly so nobody notices. Chris, it's Paul here again. Good afternoon. How are you?
Great to be with you. My head is not exploding yet.
Chris, for some reason, I know you have that under control. That's just what I like about you. Your head.
It's medication, nothing else. Don't worry about it.
All right. So, Chris, please explain. And again, this was highlighted. Another great story on the Inside Investigator. And particularly, Chris, now for all listeners in the name of transparency, but particularly for our Catholic listeners. So let us know what's going on here.
Well, thank you again for having me on. I'll try to put this in the best context I can. I'll start simply where we are. As you all know, we have laws that are passed by legislators or Congress, and they're then signed into law by the executive. And then from there, in most cases, you need regulations to implement what the legislation, the law, says. It's how you brace it for implementation in our society. And people follow regulations for all sorts of things, including the things you talked about with regard to EVs and whatever. It's a whole nonstop process. But you have to have a law before you have regulations. And what's happened now is that the Lamont administration, and I lay this clearly at the feet of the governor, whether he knows what's going on or not, I'm not sure, but his Department of Public Health has decided to push regulations, which they have no authority to do, that do two things that affect innocent life. Now, as you know, as Catholics, we oppose abortion. We believe it's an innocent taking of a human life. This is a very progressive abortion state, but there are still extreme ways to expand that, and that's what this is about. What the regulations that are being proposed by the Department of Public Health would do two things that are very troublesome. The first one is it would remove protections people enjoy under their religious freedom, the First Amendment, meaning that if a health care provider was asked to perform an abortion as a nurse, as an anesthetist, whatever process, whatever part of that team that would comprise if chose not to do the abortion for religious exemption, that they would be protected from any kind of harm by their employer. In other words, they wouldn't be fired, they wouldn't be redirected, they wouldn't be admonished. They could enjoy that. That is being removed by a proposal by the Department of Public Health, just removed from the regulation, again, without any legislative authority. The second one, which is even more sort of gruesome, has to do with third trimester or late term abortions. Under the law now, if an abortion procedure is unsuccessful and the baby is born, and that does happen, not a lot, but it happens, then the law requires the person performing that to use every medical means necessary to promote the life of that child. This new regulation would remove that requirement, meaning that if a child was born despite all efforts to abort it, then if the child died for lack of attention, those health care providers would not be held liable. So these are two very significant issues that are not reflective of the legislative process. And despite being put on notice by the Connecticut Catholic Conference and the Family Institute and several legislators who are pro-choice, by the way, but still think this is both what we call a process problem. In other words, it's illegitimate. Yeah. The Department of Public Health continues to push forward.
Let me ask you that. Who is, in the interest of time here, who's pushing this forward, Chris, especially the elimination of protections for people who have a conscience not to do this stuff. Do we have any idea who's doing it?
Well, that's the mystery. You see, this is the unelected bureaucrats in the Department of Public Health. But this is Ned Lamont. This is Governor Lamont's agency that's doing it. And it's Governor Lamont who is, either through indifference or lack of attention, endorsing infanticide. And I don't think if he really were briefed on this, he would, but that's where it is. And it's also unconstitutional to remove someone's religious protections from engaging in these sort of acts. So, you know, people can speak to this tomorrow at a public hearing. There's a public hearing window that goes to September 20th. If people want to bypass all, they can go to the www.ctcatholic.org, and there's a action page they can navigate and file right on their computer. And it's important for people, no matter where you are in this issue, to understand that this is an extreme, gruesome, unchristian, un-Catholic, but unhuman-like proposal. And it gets to a bigger point, which you probably have talked about, is unelected bureaucrats and state agencies mm-hmm. making laws just because they think they can. And a recent U.S. Supreme Court decision, which is known as the Chevron decision, yep. struck down federal agencies from doing exactly the same sort of thing. And so, you know, if you care about the Constitution, if you care about your rights, and these are things that sort of transcend the overwhelming details. But Catholics and other people of faith, when you explain this to them, they say, well, that's certainly wrong. But it also speaks to a bigger problem, which is you have to sort of make sure you, pay attention to mm-hmm. these kind of detail issues. It's before the Regulations and Review Committee, which is a bipartisan committee. That committee has been completely transparent and been completely open to our arguments. But this is an issue with the Department of Public Health and the Lamont administration. Whether they're taking orders from Planned Parenthood or others, who knows? But it is what we see it to be, and we're going to do everything we can to have it struck down.
Chris Healy. Chris, thank you. Connecticut Catholic Conference Executive Director Chris Healy. And as Chris pointed out, more info on this, ctcatholic.org, ctcatholic.org, a move that may allow in some way, shape, or form third trimester abortions. And also the part that really upsets me, removing the religious liberty that people have to say, hey, I will not participate in an abortion procedure. Chris, thank you. Keep me up to date on this after the hearing set of this, and we'll have you back.
We will. Again, keep your head on your shoulders and don't explode.
I'll try. Thanks, Chris.
See you
too. Chris Healy, Connecticut Catholic Conference Executive Director. Our every Tuesday afternoon check-in right now, Megan Portfolio. She, of course, is masterfully assembling, as she always does, the Hartford Portfolio blog for the Yankee Institute. Ms. Portfolio, good afternoon, ma'am. How are you?
Good afternoon. Hey, congratulations.
Yes, yes.
On the news, big time Paul now.
Well, yes, I can upset even more people now all the way through lower Fairfield County into like Westchester and across Long Island. So, you know, just more people to love me or dislike me, Megan. I don't know.
Excellent.
I don't know.
You're doing the Lord's work, Paul.
Thank you. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Well, you know, you are talking to a former altar boy. Did you know that?
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I'll be good.
I was deep in. Oh, yeah. Well, Megan, you should have seen me with the incense. Oh, man. I gotta tell you. I remember one time. Now, you're only supposed to put a little bit of incense in there because the coal is hot, you know, before the priest mm-hmm. walks around. I put a little too much in once, and I handed it to the priest. And within about 30 seconds, it was like a Grateful Dead concert. I mean, it was.
Oh, goodness.
Yeah, and he kind of looked at me, well, there's nothing we can do. So he just went all the way to the back of the church and came up all the way to the, just to disperse it as best he could. So, yeah, you are talking to a former altar boy. Now, having said that and having that out of the way, you are following yet another issue here, you tell me, that ultimately may have to do with state funds, which ultimately come from taxpayers' pocketbooks. So what goes on here?
Well, I'm so excited because I get to talk about the government in a non-hateful way today.
Okay.
So year after year, I watch the CTN and I listen to the colleges and universities and UConn Health crying about money. They have to raise tuition. Mm-hmm. UConn's one of the most expensive in-state schools in the country. I think the average is like $11,000 a year, and they're like over $20,000 just for in-state tuition.
Yeah.
Well, I'm usually very critical when they slip things in the bill, but in the budget bill this year, they actually slipped in a board that's actually going to look at the financial sustainability of our public colleges mm-hmm. in UConn Health. And I was very excited because it's kind of a money pit
yeah.
for the taxpayers. And it's also quite burdensome for families that, you know, traditionally you send your kids to in-state school. It's supposed to save you money. You get a great education
yeah.
at, you know, a fraction of the cost. But that's not the case with some of these schools. So they put together this board to actually examine what the heck is going on and why do you guys keep coming back to us for money? Like, you actually have tools in your toolbox to generate revenue, unlike, you know, the DOT, or well, it's a bad example, but unlike some of the other state agencies, they don't really have a mechanism to actually raise money.
Mm-hmm.
UConn does. So they stuck this in the bill, it passed, and it was a laundry list of reports that they're requiring all of these institutions to provide. But what made me excited about it was OPM, and I always call them other people's money, the Office of Policy and Management.
Other people's money. I never thought of that, but that's pretty cool. Excellent. Go ahead.
I'm like, I keep forgetting their real names. I always call them other people's money. But I really do like their secretary, Jeff Beckham.
Yeah.
I think he's a very sharp guy. He's on the board. He's very excited about it. And then the lawmakers were all, like, engaged. They actually came up with a whole list of other things that they're requiring these universities to provide to them so that we can get down to the bottom of where's all this money going.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, like, I've seen this film before with these commissions and these boards and you know, they're all excited and they generate a report and then it sits on a shelf, collecting dust
mm-hmm.
and nothing's ever done with it. But I don't know. I have a feeling that this one, they're really going to dig into it. I mean, one of the things that they're actually going to look into is, and I know this is unpopular, but the athletic funding. I mean,
yeah.
we spend a lot of money on athletics,
yeah.
and what's
yeah.
the rate of return on that? I mean,
mm-hmm.
are they making money or are we losing money? And, you know, there's that rumor that they may join the Big 12, annoyed me because I don't follow sports, and now
yeah.
I have to read the sports section,
mm-hmm.
which isn't my favorite.
Yeah.
But, I mean, just to get out of the Big East, I think that's what it's called. It's like $15 million
oh, yeah.
to get out of it early.
There's an exit fee. Yeah, exit fees. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. You know, Megan, I'm with you. I am happy with this. And listen, good on Governor Lamont and good on some of these legislators. Now, let me preface this. I have nothing against UConn. I know people in the athletic department there. I've covered their games for years. I have friends who have kids that just started there. There are UConn grads in my family. I have friends of mine, old media friends who now teach up there. That's great. But having said that, Megan, and it gets sometimes, though, with UConn and even the other state universities, I get a little weary of every time there's a funding issue, Megan, and them
yeah.
acting like it's going to be the end of the world. Like, if we don't get
yes,
every cent we get, the school will go down in a smoldering heap. No, it won't. You'll be fine.
Well, a lot of that is driven from big labor because,
mm-hmm.
you know, any excuse for them to cry about something, they take it. I mean, it came out in 2022, CII reported on this, that it costs students in their fees and tuition $1,000 just to pay for the pension debt in our state. That's ridiculous
mm-hmm.
that you're asking these students who are going there for an education at a state school, which is supposed to be affordable, to have to foot the bill for that. It's outrageous. So that's one of the things they're going to look at. And I'm really, really excited about that because that burden should not be put on, you know, these young people that are just
yeah.
looking to like better themselves so they can
mm-hmm.
get out into the workforce. I mean, this is a good thing. And they're also going to look at the community colleges.
And that
made me excited because that's such a great opportunity for students, especially lower income, to get your like nonsense classes out of the way. You know, you get 2 years and they have that free community college.
Mm-hmm.
You get that out of the way and then you can go jump in the UConn. They take the credit.
Sure.
I mean, it is a great program. And I'm very happy that they're doing this. And I really hope that they have the courage, like, to make changes, whatever they, you know, whatever they come up with, and not fall, you know, under the pressure of the unions, because yeah. God forbid, you know, they lose one, you know, job or something gets outsourced or whatnot, you know, that they start crying, and then you know what that means.
Mm-hmm.
Megan, and they're not going to support you.
Megan Portfolio, the guest from the Hartford Portfolio blog and the Yankee Institute. Yeah, I mean, Megan, I gave kudos. Look, I think Ned Lamont financially and fiscally knows what he's doing. He sees the lunacy here. And I gave him kudos. When was it, last year or the year before, about a year and a half ago, when, you know, he was getting into banging heads with the UConn president. And she was like, well, you know, with the loss of COVID funding, blah, blah, blah. And Ned Lamont said, well, wait a minute. We warned you. That was one-time funding. So don't count on it after X amount of time. So, you know, good on him. And, you know, for once we have at least, as you say, some legislators and the governor are saying, hey, you can't get everything you want all the time. You can't.
Mm-hmm. No, I agree. And the lawmakers on this committee, they, I mean, they were all participating. They all, each one of them had different issues that they wanted addressed with the universities. So I'm going to be really excited to follow this
yeah.
through.
I don't want to put you on the spot here, because maybe you do know about this
sure.
or not, but in how, in what UConn does with its money and how the money is raised. I mean, you and I know over the years, you know, the UConn Foundation, unless they've changed, they haven't really been that uber open to oversight and explaining where some of the money goes. Does any of this incentivize them to be more upfront with it, or do we not know?
I don't know yet. That actually wasn't mentioned, but thanks for the tip. I might have to look into this.
Yeah. Because I know there were some legislators, and they've said for years, Megan, like, you know, I'm paraphrasing here, but they've said, mm-hmm. yeah, we understand UConn is competitively fundraising, so we understand they don't want to give away any trade secrets. But having said that, you're raising money, millions of dollars, under the moniker of the University of Connecticut, quote unquote. So doesn't the General Assembly or people that oversee this sort of thing, don't they have a right to at least get a little more influence or information, rather, on what's going on here?
Oh, that's a great point. I'm actually going to reach out to one of the representatives on the board tomorrow and see if they could inquire about that and add that to the list.
Excellent. Well, let me know. Send me a message when you get an answer. Okay. Will you do that?
I will, sir.
All right. Megan Portfolio writes the Hartford Portfolio blog for the Yankee Institute. So check that out. Megan, have a happy week, and we'll talk to you next time around. Thank you.
All right. Have a good week. Bye.
Take care. Bye-bye.